We're looking at poor sleep, increased anxiety, panic attacks, overwhelm, puffiness, irritability, headaches, exhaustion, often lots of digestive issues. And I think what's happening now is desperation is kicking in. What am I going to do? So, what are we going to do? Well, if you're suffering from fatigue, stress, you're confused by all the wellness trends, and you're not really now sure what you're supposed to eat or what indeed you're supposed to do to make yourself feel better, then here's my book, Yang Sheng. This was an award-winning, best-selling book that actually made its way into 7 different languages when it was launched, and it is the perfect companion to this podcast. So if you're interested in buying a copy of this book, click on the link below and it will send you straight through to purchase. Hello and welcome to Own Your Health with me, Katie Brindle. Today, we are the answer to all of your hot problems. If you're feeling hot and bothered, I thought I would do an entire podcast episode devoted to surviving yet another heat wave. So if ever you want to understand how I seem to be so cool, calm and collected, no matter how boiling hot it is, then this is the episode for you. I have just been away to Venice this weekend because my best friend, it was her 50th. So we went to see Andrea Bocelli and it was the hottest weekend, I think, in history. It was over 40 degrees in Venice and it was absolutely boiling. And my poor friend was just like absolutely melting in the heat. And she just kept looking at me going, "You're fine. How come it doesn't seem to bother you in the slightest?" I was thinking, the reason it doesn't bother me is because I know what to do. So the first thing we need to discuss is what kind of symptoms have we got when we're dealing with the heat wave? Well, often what people are coming into me in clinic or writing in at the moment and saying, we're looking at poor sleep, increased anxiety, panic attacks, overwhelm, puffiness, irritability, headaches, exhaustion, often lots of digestive issues, kind of all sorts of IBS-y type symptoms, and a general feeling of feeling hot and bothered. It's very uncomfortable. It's not fun anymore. When the sun first put its hat on, I think we were all quite enjoying it, but we've really all lost the excitement of the summer joys. So let's talk about this, because the interesting thing about this year particularly is this is a fire horse year. Now, the fire horse energy is very much about the height of summer. And right at this moment in time, with this next heat wave upon us, it is also the height of summer. So what that means is that you are in the season where it's in its excess, and there is a year energy frequency that's going to go on all the way from when the Chinese New Year hit earlier this year, all the way through to the beginning of next year, where kind of heat-related symptoms are going to be exacerbated as well. So it's like double whammy, okay? So funnily enough, I did predict a very, very hot summer this year when I was doing all the fire horse information at the beginning. And this is one of the things that Chinese astrologers used to do. They would be looking at weather patterns because, of course, in the olden days, they'd be looking at crop plants and all sorts of management. Because remember, if people couldn't eat, then people either died or became very disruptive. So either way, we didn't really want that when we were managing society. So astrologers were really paying attention to what was going on in the overall energy frequency because it would manage the seasons as well. The other interesting thing about the fire element, which is what we're in right now, which is really at the root as to what's causing all these symptoms in the first place, is fire will bring with it all sorts of lovely energy frequencies that we tend to associate with the summer. Joy, connection, socializing, higher energy levels, ability to have less sleep, stay awake longer, socialize more, get up earlier, go to bed later. This is kind of all the joyful stuff that we kind of associate to fire. But what's happening at the moment is there's so much fire that we're now tipping over the other way because it's going to imbalance. And now we're no longer feeling joyful or sociable or wanting to kind of get out and move around because we're all just feeling completely and utterly exhausted by what's going on. And that's the crucial point, is that when fire overburns, which is likely in this kind of energy frequency, it tips and then it depletes. And that's what we're dealing with right now. And all of these symptoms that we're talking about is fire going into, first of all, excess, where it's like, oh, I'm so hot. And then it continues. And then you just feel absolutely exhausted. It is literally a bit like imagining a fire in the hearth. Just think of an old-fashioned fire with wood or coal on it. And once you've put the source of material onto it, it will flare up and burn. And then it will, once it's burnt through its resources, then it will literally just obliterate itself. So that's the other key thing to understand about fire. It needs attention. it needs careful management. If anyone's had or experienced an open fire in a pub or in their house or wherever they've been, you will notice that as long as you give it a continual fuel supply, it burns very, very beautifully, and it's very, very attractive, and it's a very beautiful thing to sit next to. It's very warming, and it's very alluring. But if you don't pay constant attention to it, it will either go out because it exhausts itself, or it will overburn. Okay, and that's exactly what's happening to the human body at this exact moment in time. So what do we need to do in order to offset all of this? Because it's now not fun anymore. And therefore, people are now really starting to listen to this kind of content. And that's really good, because I always say to everybody that cares to listen to me is that I will get you into this world either through inspiration, which is the easy way, which is me go, come on, everyone, it's really cool. It's really interesting. Come and listen to this. It's great. And you go, oh my God, that's great. I'm so inspired. I'm going to do that. That's one way. That's the easy way. The hard way is desperation. Both will get you there. Desperation is the hard way. And I think what's happening now is desperation is kicking in. I'm drinking ice. I'm sort of trying to navigate myself. I'm wearing cool clothes, but I can't sleep. I'm overwhelmed. I feel really, really stressed. My digestive system's going all over the place. I'm bloated. I feel lethargic. I'm absolutely exhausted. What am I going to do? So what are we going to do? Well, let me first of all, before I tell you what we are going to do, I'm just going to tell you what you're probably doing, which is what you shouldn't be doing, okay? Because all I see at the moment, when I just survived, I didn't just survive Venice, by the way, I'd like to say I actually thrived. I was totally fine, absolutely fine. So, and yet everybody else is just sitting there going, huh, huh. And so what are we doing wrong? Okay, the first thing, and let's have a listen to see whether any of you, so we'll do a little tick box exercise here. Who is doing this? I'll do a little straw poll around the room, although James and Harriet know better, so they probably won't do it. Okay, number one, what you're probably doing wrong, ice in your drinks. Okay, no ice in drinks. Literally everybody is having ice in their drinks. Why? Why is ice so bad? Because what ice does is psychologically you think it's going to cool you down, but it does not, because your stomach is a bubbling cauldron and it needs to be kept hot and warm at all times internally. You want to feel cool on the exterior, but actually by putting ice into your stomach, it's a bit like putting a hot bowl of soup in your fridge. Okay, then what happens is your fridge has to work twice as hard to maintain its temperature. Just in that case, it's the opposite way around. But your body is the same. The minute you start putting cold, icy things into your system, the system has to work twice as hard, thus creating heat, in order to maintain its homeostasis. The other aspect about ice that's so bad for you is that because the spleen is the organ responsible for the transformation and transportation of food and fluids around the body, and the spleen is responsible for this bubbling cauldron, the spleen likes warm. Okay, and then what happens is you're basically giving it the wrong thing. It's literally going, like this, it can't cope. And then what happens is it starts to collapse because it's dealing with the immediate urgency of warming your stomach temperature back up again. That becomes its number one responsibility. And actually what it's trying to do is manage the transformation and transportation of food and fluid. Then what happens is you get puffy, you get bloated, you swell up because your spleen is responsible for all of that. And then in come the secondary symptoms. The next thing is taking out cold food. Okay, salads. The only time that salads are okay for your digestive system in the cold weather is if you've taken them out of the fridge and let them come up to room temperature. And this is the thing, because I do eat salads in the hot weather. And people on my social media have said, well, hang on a minute, I thought you said don't eat raw and cold food. I'm like, yes, but the difference is that in this boiling hot weather, I take the ingredients out at breakfast time and let them all sit on the side so that by the time I come to eat lunch, they've all warmed up. And then what happens is this really amazing thing. It's a bit like a summer version of wok cooking, which is obviously a huge great thing in Chinese food culture. And the reason why wok cooking is so good when you're cooking food is because it keeps everything fresh and crunchy, but the enzymes start to break down because they put it under a very high heat very, very quickly, and bam, the enzymes start breaking down and all sorts of exciting things start to happen. It's the same thing in the summer, but what you've got, instead of the heat from the stove, you've got the heat from the outside. And it's a gentler situation because it's different foods. Because what you should be doing, and I will come into a full remit of this lately in a minute, is eating seasonally, which means the foods that are seasonally available in the summertime naturally start to kind of decompose ever so fractionally in those few hours that they're sitting outside for, and then they're ready to eat, okay? Now, that doesn't necessarily apply for certain things like shellfish or certain certain raw foods. But if I'm just talking about green vegetables, say, or some watermelon or some feta cheese or some fresh mint leaves, these are things that if you just leave them out and then you're eating them and they're at room temperature. But the point of room temperature in the summertime is it's relatively warm. The room temperature in the summer is going to be much warmer than in the wintertime. So therefore, eating raw foods within reason is okay, but they must not be cold. Okay, so cold raw salads out of the chiller cabinet in a local Pret or straight out of your fridge if you're cooking from home is not good. You've got to let it warm back up again. And if you are eating cold raw food, the other thing to do is to always ensure that you're adding something into it which has got a little bit of a kick to it to give the stomach the fire warmth that it needs on the inside. So for example, that would be a little bit of ginger. And that's one of the reasons why when you buy sushi, there's always wasabi and pickled ginger to go with it. It always comes with the dish because that warms the fire heat back up when you're eating cold raw food. Okay, but even then, the sushi shouldn't be freezing cold out of the chiller cabinet. Okay, it should just be fresh. The other thing that we do, which is a big no-no, is we push through the exhaustion. And the other even worse big no-no than pushing through the exhaustion is we then have a coffee. And now coffee is heat forming, and that's not good in this heat. So you'd be much better off having a matcha, which will still give you a sort of kick to your energy, but matcha is cooling to the body. Okay. Now, but then the next problem is when we're having a coffee, when we're pushing through our exhaustion, is because it's hot, we're having iced coffees. So then we're back on the ice again. And it's like, oh my gosh. So please try not to have coffee because it's heat forming in the body in this weather. And you may well notice that you feel hot afterwards. Do a simple swap into matcha if you absolutely want one. But please try and keep it at hot drinks rather than cold drinks, because the ice is the no-no, which we've already explained. The other thing with exhaustion is that that's a bit like the fire in the hearth running out of fuel. Okay, so then it starts to deplete. Now, if you then just add more fuel, it will burn back up again and thus get hotter and ultimately leave you feeling even more depleted than you were in the first place. So then what we need to do is actually honour the depletion and honour the exhaustion and not push through it, but actually give yourself a little bit of a rest. That, you know, we talk about the siesta in as part of Spanish culture. Now, actually, to be honest, whenever I've been to Spanish cities, there isn't any siestas anymore. That tends to be an old thing from when people were farming. But people now just work like everywhere else. But it's really, really important to give yourself a rest. Now, when would that rest be? The good news is, in the summertime, that actually the time to have a rest, according to Chinese wisdom, is the middle of the day. So any time between 11 and 1. Now, the useful thing about that is that just clips into the lunch hour. If you can have your lunch hour between, say, 12 and 1 or even 12:30 and 1:30, then you've got a shot at a half hour rest. And the good news is that I have done a meditation for you to cool you down and to get you straight into deep rest in the middle of the day. So we put that in the show notes below. And so you can, all you have to do is click on it and I will do it for you. Now, the other thing that's really, really bad that you may well be doing is we get to the summer and we all want to get in shape because, of course, suddenly our bodies are being exposed. We're wearing lighter clothing, shorts, sleeves, and everything's exposed. And we look at ourselves in the mirror and we go, oh my God, I need to lose weight. Oh my God, my arms, my legs, my thighs, my tummy, my whatever. Right, I'm going to go and exercise. Obviously, exercise is great. We'll do separate episodes about exercise. But actually, in the summertime, hard exercise is a very, very bad idea because we don't want to be excessively sweating. Okay, so actually the best thing that you can do is actually take advantage of the light early in the morning, which is one of the best things that you can do for yourself in this, to give you energy and to harness that energy by going out for a walk first thing in the morning rather than a full-blown run. I'm still very much at the pioneering end of trying to get people to be early morning walking rather than running. Running is going to open the pores in order to start sweating. It's going to heat the body up even more. And ultimately, whilst you may get a bit of an energy hit straight afterwards, will leave you feeling more depleted in the longer term. So it's much better to be doing continual exercise and movement throughout the day, just bits and pieces. And when you're doing those kinds of walks, one of the best things that you can do, especially if it's later than early in the morning, is use a UV umbrella. Okay, I swear by my UV umbrella. It is brilliant. It's on Amazon. It's like £15. It was the best thing. And I had it up the whole time I was wandering around Venice. And I could see everyone else looking at me going, oh my God. First of all, you could see people going, what's she doing? What's that? And then you could see the what it was, because it's all blacked out underneath because of the UV part. So it's like permanent shade. And it just keeps you really, really cool. And so then the body just stays calm and it just makes everything so much easier.
So I've given you some what you shouldn't be doing. And then as a result, I've kind of slightly gone into what you should be doing as well. But let's just now go deeper into the things that we need to do to beat the heat wave. Okay, so we've already talked about excess sweating, hot drinks, icy drinks, cold food hitting the system. There's some other simple things, though, that you can do. For example, running your wrists under cold water. It's so simple. I remember when I was at school, we had an open day and the teachers told us, because there was a heat wave the day of the open day, and that was one of the things they taught us. I was like 7 years old and they kept taking us inside to kind of run our hands under the cold water. We had to sort of have a little crocodile thing to do it to keep us all cool. So the first thing is make sure that you run your hands under cold water. Okay, it's so simple. So whenever you go to the loo, which we do during the course of the day, just take time washing your hands and just run the cold water tap and just keep them there for a couple of minutes. Okay, it's really, really, really helpful for keeping everything going. Whilst we're on our hands, another simple thing is anxiety levels tend to go up in the heat. That is because anxiety is a condition in Chinese medicine, which is very much connected to the heart energy, which is very much blazing from the sun above at the moment. And one of the easiest ways to do that is to hold your thumb, just like that. So for those listening, I'm just taking my thumb and I'm taking my other hand and I'm just holding my thumb in the palm of my other hand and curling my fingers and thumb around it. This is why small children suck their thumbs, because it makes them feel reassured and it calms down any anxiety or nervousness. It's an atavistic thing that we do because children do it without even understanding why. But the reason why is it calms the body down. It is one of the easiest hacks and I use it all the time. If I'm in nervous situations where I'm feeling a little bit anxious, I simply hold my thumb and then I clasp my hands in front of me with my thumb held or put them on my lap, and it keeps me calm. It also gives you something to do with your hands. You're not sort of fluttering them around. It's a very, very simple technique if you're in social situations as well. So that's another really easy one. Another really easy one is tapping the elbow crease. So this is the inside of my arm where the arm bends, okay? And all you do is you just use the other hand and you just tap. Now, the reason why you're doing that is because the heart organ, bizarrely, links to the crease of the elbow. So does the lungs, interestingly. So one of the things I talk about in this podcast is it's very important when you're understanding how to own your health to look after your five key organs. And each of those five key organs has a crease within the body where if you tap that crease, you access the organ itself. I mean, who knew that? And what a brilliant piece of advice that is. So it so happens that it's the lungs and the heart, in fact, on the elbow crease. The liver is on the armpit, the spleen is on the groin, and the kidneys is in the back of the knees, just so that you know. But if you tap the inside of your elbow crease, it will cool you down. It will calm the heart. Okay, it's literally like sort of just a reassuring pat, and everything just feels really, really grounded within the body. And everything, rather than kind of going ah like this, where it all feels a bit like a snow globe, just kind of like going crazy and getting hot and bothered, it just kind of grounds everything down. Super, super simple technique. Super simple. If you want to take it all the way, you do armpit, elbow, groin, backs of knees. It's a bit like heads and shoulders, knees and toes. And it's so funny as I go into this content that I start to see sort of nursery rhymes and turns of phrases and things that exist in the English language. Think, where did that come from? Where did heads, shoulders, knees and toes come from? Like, what is that? Why do kids sing it? Why do we learn it? Why do we teach it? And the answer is because actually it's really good for you. We've just forgotten the information that tells you why. We just sort of do it anyway. Right, room temperature water is a must. We need to just stop with the ice altogether. Room temperature water is key. And if you want to have the room temperature water feel cooling to the body, then the key is to make sure that you put ingredients into the water itself. So that is ideally mint, citrus, and cucumber. Okay, these are fantastic ingredients for keeping the water cool. If you want to really give your spleen something even better than that, you want to add a bit of ginger into it as well, believe it or not, because it gives the spleen what it wants. Ginger is especially good for the stomach, okay? And your stomach will thank you, especially if you're getting bloated or you're having kind of IBS symptoms, which many people complain of: diarrhea, bloating, constipation, kind of, or a mixture of all three at any given moment in time. So all of these things are incredibly useful. I've talked about going outside first thing in the morning. And just to reiterate that, the most important time to be outside is very, very, very first thing, ideally with the early light. I mean, at this time of the year, I'm getting up at about 5:30 in the morning. Now, that's very early. I have to be honest with you, full confession, I do go back to bed afterwards again. But I go out, I go to the park, I take my doggy. It's gorgeous. It's really cool at that time of the morning because you're just coming out of the coldest time of the day, which is roughly between 3 and 5 o'clock, when things tend to be a bit dewy and sort of cooler. And then the energy starts to rise up and the heat starts to come up. But you are absorbing the best energy of the day, even if it's just for 5 minutes. And if you can't get out of the house, just sit by a window. Lizelle talks about this with a lot of her content in her How to Age book. And she also talks about sitting by the window and just allowing the light, not looking directly at the sun, but just allowing the light to come into the eyes. And on that note, it is so important that the first thing in the morning that we're doing is not reaching for our phone and start scrolling and answering messages. Okay. The first hour of the day, ideally, if not at least the first 5 minutes, should be for you. Okay. Before we immediately start responding to everything and going, oh, right, what takes you into the weeds, and it takes you into sort of doom scrolling. And the other interesting thing is that the liver, which is an organ which very easily gets hot and bothered, opens to the eyes in Chinese medicine. So what you're looking at and then responding to will start to heat up the body before you've even had a chance to adjust to the day ahead. So that kind of advice works all year round, but it's particularly relevant at this time of year, because what you want to do is take advantage of the most exquisite light that's available to us, and this very, very potent yang energy, which is also available to us very first thing in the morning. It is literally the biggest health hack I can teach. I've just said that about ice. Okay, so that's two. Okay, so the two things that I would absolutely insist on at all times is no ice and room temperature food, and early morning walking. I am absolutely devoted to my early morning walk, and I can tell you it's not like I wake up every morning and leap out of bed and go, oh goody, it's 5 a.m. I'm going for a walk. There is always that little moment first thing. I had it this morning where I'm like, oh, I just want to roll over and go back to sleep, but I didn't. I got up. It's useful that I've got this little one here going, are we, is it, are we, can we, huh? The minute I open my eyes, he's like all frisky because he knows it's coming. So I have a sense of duty and responsibility and love to Don Simon, so that therefore I take him out anyway. But it is literally the best thing, and when I go on holiday I do it as well. I will always get up and get out and then come back and have my breakfast. It's a very, very bad idea to exercise at lunchtime. Now, I know that's a tricky one because people often do exercise at lunchtime because that's the time of the day that they have available. But really what we need to be doing at lunchtime is resting, okay, and exercising at the tail ends of the day. And that exercise needs to be gentle in this heat. It's not a good idea to be going excess running because you're basically agitating the body and creating too much heat. So walking is better, or swimming. Okay, because obviously immersing yourself in water is a very, very good form of exercise because that's cooling the body at the same time. Now, the thing about these small shifts is that they make such a massive difference to your day. When I'm watching everybody drinking Aperol spritzes, actually one of the other things to say is, which I forgot to mention, is alcohol. Alcohol, fried foods, heavy fatty foods, not like olive oil fats, like healthy fats, but just kind of, you know, hamburgers, chips, crisps, like the hot like snacks that they give you. So again, I was witnessing this when I was away. You know, you'd sit in these cafes, and they're lovely in Italy. They give you little snacks when you order drinks, and out they come, and out come the crisps, but then often out come olives. And olives are fine because they're cooling on the body. Crisps are not, because they're saturated and they've got salt on them, so they actually exacerbate the situation. Mix that with an Aperol spritz, which is what everyone seems to be drinking, and it's a disaster, because that's alcoholic, icy and sugary, which is literally the worst possible cocktail you could put into your body at this time of year. So sorry, I should have said that earlier, but never mind, it doesn't matter. This is a podcast and it's coming from my heart and soul. So the other thing, now we've done some basic stuff, is just thinking about our diets. Really please make sure that you're eating seasonally, okay? This is the time of year to eat obvious summer foods, summer fruits, choose lightly cooked vegetables. If you're eating salads, as I've said, make sure that they've been at room temperature, because room temperature will start to kind of create the enzyme movement happening. And really make sure that you're eating cooling foods rather than frozen things, okay? So as I've said, mint, cucumber, citrus. These are all really, really easy. There's also in my book, there is a whole list of summer foods, but I've just pulled out a few of them just so that I've given you some. Watermelon is literally what I eat constantly at this time of year. You don't need to keep it in the fridge. If you do keep it in the fridge, take it out of the fridge and eat it once it's warmed back up again. It is so cooling on the body, and it makes it very, very easy for the body to absorb all the fluids that are in the watermelon itself, which are absolutely brilliant for the body. And it's really easy for cellular metabolism to just draw that watermelon into the body and rehydrate from it. Cucumber, celery, courgette, mint, grapefruit, and one of my other big favorites, mung beans. Now, if you're sitting at home going, ooh, mung beans, what's that? Mung beans are a bit like cress. Okay. They are really, really easy to sprout at home. Super easy. And they're also really cheap. And they are absolutely fantastic for cooling the body and for draining the body of damp. So if you're like me and you swell up in the summer, which I do, and it drives me mad, this is one of the things that I do to stop that happening. And it really, really works. Okay. So mung beans are easy. You can also make mung bean water, which we're going to do a video of, and we're going to put that up on the socials as well, because it's also incredibly easy and it's a really cheap ingredient. Bitter foods are also extremely good for supporting heart energy, because the heart likes bitter. It likes rocket, watercress, parsley, all of those are kind of raw end of things, but it also likes kale, and kale can be lightly cooked and is extremely good for the heart all year round, but especially at this time of year. And as I've said, alcohol is really, look, alcohol's not great anyway, but I'm not sitting here preaching, because I do drink, I do have some drinks. I don't drink a lot, but I do drink a bit. But I don't drink at the moment. Absolutely not. I mean, alcohol for me in the summertime is a complete disaster, because of course it creates too much heat in the body. Fried food, because it creates too much heat in the body. Excess caffeine creates too much heat in the body. And heavy meals create too much heat in the body. So eat light, eat simple, and also try as best you can to lengthen your meal times if you possibly can. Try not to kind of eat on the run and then rush around. Use this time to have those kind of famous kind of long Mediterranean lunches that they're sort of, not that they necessarily do that, but it's what we think they do. Because you want to give your body time to digest the food, which is a heat forming process, when it's maintaining cool. So if you then start rushing around, you compromise the digestive system yet further, because it's trying to work, because blood goes to the digestion when you eat. Okay, when you start to digest. If you start rushing around and moving, the blood's going to the muscles. So the body's kind of going, oh, I don't know what I'm doing. And remember, this is all about the spleen, because that's what the spleen is doing. The spleen is also interestingly responsible for the muscles, and it's responsible for the lymph. So if you are eating on the hoof, the wrong kind of food, shoving something down and rushing around, then what happens is you tend to blow up, because the spleen can't transport the fluids correctly, because it doesn't know whether it's supposed to be managing digestion or the movement of the muscles. And so then it just starts to get completely overwhelmed and everything goes a bit wrong. It just kind of goes a bit like, ah, it goes snow globe-y again, okay? You need to imagine your poor old body sends like a, it's like this snow globe going, I don't know whether I'm coming or going, I don't know what I'm going to do. And then in come the symptoms. And then ultimately you don't feel well. More things that we absolutely shouldn't be doing. Phone use. Now, I'm a big one for phone use. I am now going analog for several points in the day. I can't go completely analog, sadly, because I live in the 21st century and it's literally, I think, impossible. But I do turn my phone off for large periods of time. Most importantly, bedtime. That phone goes off at 9 o'clock at night, and that's that. And I don't use it as an alarm. I don't charge it by my bed. I turn it off. I put it in one of those pouches and I put it in the wardrobe and I leave it. And the other thing that I've noticed when I turn the phone off, A, that's improved my sleep. B, it's incredibly good for you to make sure that you have all these EMFs flying by you. Liz, again, talks about it on my podcast. So if you haven't looked at that episode, it's a really good episode to connect with. And or in her fantastic book, she talks about this extensively as well. But it's very, very important to keep the phone away from you at night as a bare minimum. Now, in the meantime, for periods of time during the day, I also turn my phone off. Okay. And what I've noticed is that I immediately relax when the phone goes off. There's something about having that phone on which creates agitation and heat inside the body. Switch it off. You go, oh, I'm uncontactable. Feels great. It's like, oh, I'm uncontactable. I mean, you're fine for an hour. I mean, it's okay. I'm not saying be uncontactable all day long, but just try it and you will notice. And if nothing else, I mean, obviously you want to try this before your body starts overheating. Prevention is always better than cure. Okay, a drop of prevention is a bucket of cure in Chinese medicine. But if I haven't inspired you to do that and you're coming to me desperate going, I'm overheated, what am I going to do, Katie? Turn your phone off. Although I know you're thinking, you're probably laughing to yourself, thinking, well, I'm listening or watching this podcast on my phone, Katie, what am I supposed to do? That's fine. I've given you loads of information. Just simply turn your phone off and just do some deep breathing, okay? And put yourself in a cool, dark room. And then you can put your phone back on and then you can carry on listening or watching my podcast. But what we shouldn't be doing is scrolling through to anyone else's. Just listen to me, okay? That's what you need to do. Also, try and simplify your schedule. Now, I know that's really hard and I get that wrong all the time, because it's not good to be overloaded in the summer because you just can't cope. Imagine your body in the summer is like a glass of Coca-Cola, okay? And then the summer heat is like a teaspoon of sugar, okay? And that already fizzes it over the top. Then a busy schedule is another spoon of sugar and it's fizzing over the top. And then eventually there's so much fizz going over the top, there's nothing left. That's really what's going on. So we've got to just do these simple things as best we can. Look at your schedule ahead in the week. Strip out anything that's unnecessary. Do I absolutely have to do every single thing? Do I have to travel? Do I have to? Look at your schedules. Can things be stripped out? Can you stay put? Can you work from home? Just can you simplify things a little bit? Because if you can, then you should, and your body will thank you for it. And one of the last things that's really important at this time of year, because summer is the time of social connection and joy. So spending time with people you love is a really, really important thing. Being with friends, having nice slow meals, not necessarily outside sweating, might be better or inside in the AC and in the cooler, darker spaces, but being with your friends. So lesser known to most people is there's this thing called the energy clock in Chinese medicine. We call it the Ziwu clock. And it's this really clever thing whereby there's 12 organs in the body that we recognize. And each one has this 2-hour moment, okay? And this is why we say to rest between 11 and 1, because that's when the energy of the body is in the heart. Aha, I hear you say that makes sense. So the reason why we're telling you to rest between 11 and 1 is because that's the time for the heart. Oh, okay. So what you want to do is give the heart maximum stillness in this maximum heat, because it gives it time to absorb this maximum energy when it naturally goes into the organ rather than running around at the same time. So if you're exercising at that time, you're depleting the organ at the time at which it needs its nourishment. Okay, that's why we tell you to rest. Now, similarly, fire energy is also at large on the Ziwu clock between 7 p.m. and 9 p.m. It's at a different organ. It's called the pericardium. And the pericardium is like this kind of myelin sheath that wraps around the heart and wraps around everything else and kind of connects everything to everything else. It's the heart protector in Chinese medicine. Now, the pericardium is very much about socializing. So there's a time to socialize, and it is between 7 and 9. Okay, so really what you want to be doing in an ideal world, because we don't want to be eating too late either, because one of the other big rules of Chinese medicine is 4 hours between food and sleep. Okay, now you need to be asleep by 11 p.m., which means you need to have finished your meal ideally by 7 p.m., which means ideally you need to be eating your meal at about 6:30 p.m., because we don't want to eat too much in the summer because it overloads the system. So what that means is you have your dinner 6:30 till 7, and then between 7 and 9, you sit around after dinner, chatting, not eating, chatting, relaxing. In the olden days, we just sat around the fire, probably in this weather, no fire whatsoever, just sat around in a circle. But you would sit around the fire telling stories and anecdotes, and that, you know, in the modern day version, that would be, if you were, say, in family, you would be reminiscing about all the funny memories. Do you remember when? Do you remember the time when this happened and mummy did that and the car broke down and daddy got cross and everyone starts laughing? Those things where when adversity strikes, I always say to the children, we'll laugh about this later. And that's what the pericardium time is. It's about laughing and joking and sharing joy and anecdotes and stories and reminiscing. And it makes you feel safe and secured and nurtured and loved. And then you go to sleep. Okay, now we tend to just sit around watching Netflix. Not such a good idea. But that is what we should be doing, especially in the summertime. So that's all the base level support, although this is quite a long episode already. There's more. If you want to go deeper, you can do breath work. We can do body tapping. We can do acupressure. We can do gua sha. And we could do Qigong. So you're probably listening and watching this going, oh, wow, okay, that sounds interesting. So let me just unbox that one for a second. So tapping the body. This is the bamboo tapper. For those listening, I'm just grabbing the Hey You bamboo tapper, which is basically, it looks like a kind of long whisk, really. And the idea is that, interestingly, bamboo is, if you pick up the tool, you'll notice it's cool. Bamboo is cool to the touch. Okay, so it's a percussive technique. And you strike the body gently with the tapper. But the thing is, even though percussive techniques are warming on the body because they're active, they're quite yang in nature, the cooling action of the actual material that we're using cools the process down, and it allows the heat to come out of the body because it allows the pores to open and the body to release the heat. Okay. So that's a really, really, really simple way to just get everything moving. And it's incredibly good for the body. There's a whole complete subsection on tapping in the podcast, and also there's a whole section on my website about the benefits of it. But it's going to allow the blood and the fluids of the body to move, and it allows the muscles and the fascia of the body, and even all the way down to the bones, to start basically releasing anything that needs to be released back into the circulatory system. And remember, when we're talking about owning your health, 80% of all of the modern day situations of our health that we're dealing with are rooted in a compromise of your circulatory system in some shape or form. And then the next layer in is purge and nourish the body, allowing the body to release out what needs to go and draw in what needs to come in. And body tapping is a very simple way of achieving both of those things effortlessly with a simple tool. If you don't want to buy a tool, you can use your hands. The hands aren't quite as cooling because your hands are likely to be quite warm in this weather, but they will do the trick. Okay, breath work. I've done a meditation which uses breath, and I've also done various different podcasts where I have done some really simple breathing techniques to teach you, which James, by the powers of his brilliance that he does after I finish talking, will put the little links below so that you can click straight onto one of those and come and join me for some breaths. But in simple form for this particular episode, to stop you clicking around, all you need to do, okay, is if you're feeling overwhelmed, just take your hands to your lower belly. Okay, just breathing gently in through the nose. Breathing down where your hands are gently clasped over your lower belly. Linger at the top of the breath and simply use what I call the FR breath, which is you're making the sound FR through your mouth. What you want to do is make that exhale slightly longer than the inhale. That will start to cool and relax the body. Breathing in. Immediately, everything starts to calm and still. There's nothing more to it than that, okay? You're just breathing down into the lower belly, breathing in, and breathing out to the sound of FR, okay? Super useful. There's more on that in the links below. Acupressure is another very simple one. We touched it with the tapping of the cooling points on the inner arm, on the crease of the elbow crease. The other really important cooling points, as I said earlier, are behind the knees. So what I do when I'm sitting, if I'm getting hot, is I do a kind of kung fu chop like this. So I've basically got my hands kind of flat, and then I just go behind my slightly bent knees, and I'm just doing a kind of cut. Okay, just a kind of like that, cut like that, going up behind the back of the knees, because that's activating the cooling points of the body. Very, very simple. Another really important cooling point of the body is large intestine 4, which is between the thumb and the index finger, that fleshy bit on the hand. And you can really quite actively stimulate that. You can really press and pull that point, which is a very nice cooling point of the body. You can do that as well as the FR breath at the same time. And the other really simple point, which is good for cooling the body, is on the elbow crease again. So if you just crease your arm towards you and look down on your outer arm crease, you'll see, if you look towards your elbow, there's a natural point where the crease of the elbow stops. That point is large intestine 11. It's a really good cooling point of the body. So you can just palpate that point, and it's naturally really good for cooling down. Gua sha is also fantastic for drawing the heat out of the body. So for that, you just need a little bit of oil. Put the oil over your chest, get the copper tool, which is the Heyu method, and just simply press stroke the tool away from the heart across the chest. Again, we'll do links to demonstrations as to how to do that at the end, because that is a brilliant way of getting the heat out of the body if you're feeling puffy and congested. Now, with these sorts of techniques, there are always going to be somebody who's got a contraindication. So we have all of the contraindications clearly linked on the website. So if you're not sure, just check the contraindications. If you're still not sure, you can message in and ask us. And always, always, always remember that this kind of advice is in conjunction with your GP and your Western consultant. Okay, so if you're not sure, you must ask your Western consultant. Interestingly, I was just thinking back about what happened to me in Venice. Interestingly, I was talking to the paramedics because we went to see this concert. And one of the things that even the paramedics were saying that they were telling everybody to do, and these are Western paramedic practitioners, okay? And they said, room temperature water. Even they said it. And I was sitting there sort of smugly going, you see, I told you. They are also advising it to anybody that was overheating. They said, don't drink ice cold water. What you need to drink, actually, it's something to remind you, rehydration salts. So Ancient and Brave do a really, really good rehydration salt, which I really, really like. And they do them in these little sachets. And I keep them in my handbag at all times. And I'll have a sachet once or twice a day. And I find it, because basically it brings the electrolytes into the water. So you're not just guzzling water, which sometimes can be a little bit too much. And the cells need other things to go into the water so that they can absorb the fluids beneficially. And I think the Ancient and Brave ones is really good and very practically packaged. So I think that just about wraps up how to beat the heat wave. So I've given you the content in what not to do, what you need to do basic level, and what you need to do more advanced level, so that really now you have a comprehensive guide for everything you need to do. If you want to see this content in fact sheet format, then if you pop over to my website, it's over there on the fact sheets. There's lots of useful links in the content below. And a lot of this information is in my number one selling Yang Sheng book. So thank you so much for joining me today. And I look forward to joining you on Amazon, Spotify, or YouTube next episode.